and all men throughout all times have felt these needs and these desires. If you read in the Rig Vedas of India, the Book of the Dead of the Egyptians, the many works of the Greeks, implicit in all of these are these desires: to be recognized and accepted, to recognize this Supreme Being, to acknowledge Him, and to acknowledge an afterlife. And the various people find various keys to open the door of heaven, where they will be received by the Supreme Being for life eternal. And they try many of keys. They all have one label: righteousness. They all have one desire: to become righteous and enter heaven. And Paul mentions specifically three types of this key of righteousness that he was familiar with and that we are familiar with today. First, he mentions the righteousness of self, citing as an example the group he probably knew better than almost anyone else, the Jews themselves, that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. They are ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and they seek to establish their own, not submitting to God's righteousness. And he knew from personal experience the great zeal of these men, who did everything they could to preserve the law, to build this hedge around the law, to follow all of the traditions, to follow everything that they themselves set up. But while they had a great zeal, they were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they were blinded to the value of what God held as righteous. They wanted to do this on their own. And today we have the same group, the same ideas of those who say that the main important thing is sincerity. It doesn't mean really much difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. We all know this key opens no door. It doesn't work. And then there is a second righteousness, the righteousness of ability. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by it. Salvation by ability, by doing something, by fulfilling requirements, which in this case is impossible, because man can never keep this righteousness. No matter how hard he tries, it's a theoretical possibility only. And this key, likewise, does not work. But then he mentions the righteousness that does, the righteousness of faith. But the righteousness of faith says, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven to bring Christ down? Who shall ascend into the abyss? In other words, we don't have to search high and low for this righteousness. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your lips, in your heart, the word of faith which we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this, then, is the righteousness that justifies. The source is faith. It is nigh us. It is the word of faith which is trust and hope in Christ. And for this, with man who believes, he will be saved. But then he continues. For man believes with his heart. Perhaps it might be better to translate that. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. So the man with the answer, with the key to salvation, who belongs to God's family, recognizing the Almighty Creator, supreme being as his Father, who has prepared a place for him in the life everlasting, has this as a sure and certain knowledge, but he also confesses this same thing to man before the whole world, and he confesses in that he has received salvation. And so the key works, but it is a key which is not kept for man himself, for the individual who has achieved it. And for those of us who have met the entrance requirement to heaven by ignoring the righteousness of self and ignoring the righteousness of ability and have trusted completely in the righteousness of faith, have two further obligations. We have the obligation of complete confidence in God, because no one who calls upon him will be lost. Everyone who believes in him will be saved, will not be put to shame. Our life from now on is confident, trusting in the Lord, knowing he will hear, and nothing can speak against it. Voltaire said one time, it took 12 ignorant Jews to establish, 12 ignorant fishermen to establish Christianity. I will show you how one Frenchman can get rid of it. 25 years after Voltaire's death, his home, which he owned, was bought by the Geneva Bible Society and used to store their Bible. And the printing press, which published a number of Voltaire's diatribes against religion and God and theology, was actually used to print an edition of the Bible. And so we can trust in complete confidence with God. But we also have this obligation. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, one confesses unto salvation. So our whole life, based upon this righteousness of faith, is also one continuous life of confession. We have met the entrance requirement. We now confess thee before the world. Amen.